Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life. With a mind that works and a body that functions and senses that help guide us. Lord, help us to develop our spirit so that we may draw closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A part of life is that we have surprises and challenges. They can be large and they can be small. And we each have our own personal life that always has something going on. Thankfully, we have God, who we can call upon for help and guidance. In our relationship with God, we both speak and listen. We often speak about the trouble in life because that is often on our mind. And oh, there are many areas in life that could be trouble. And we know about the personal ones, and for some reason, I pay attention to the trouble which could develop in our world around us. Just look at the spiritual condition of our world, and look at our own churches, how attendance has been going down in recent years. Look at what's going on in your neighborhood, in your city, state, and country. Look at all that is going on in this great big world of ours. There is goodness everywhere, and there is trouble everywhere. And I thank God for the goodness everywhere, because I do see goodness everywhere, but I also see the trouble. The thing is that goodness won't hurt you. However, the trouble can definitely hurt you, and that is why I talk about the possible troubles around us. In the last year, the fires in California were something to behold. So much destruction in Southern California, Central California, and Northern California. We all are feeling the effects of those fires, one way or another. Those fires have very much impacted our lives. I don't know about the Central and Southern California fires so much, but I know about, Paradise and Northern California. We've had lots of evacuation and emergency plans that have gone on. They were there before the fire. The officials in Paradise area are very well aware of the huge danger that the fire posed, or that fire conditions posed. So they made plans, lots of plans, but a lot of plans failed, and there were very great losses of every sort. Great losses were the hallmark of every one of these fires, and maybe you remember some of their names. The Mendocino Complex Fire, the Woolsey Fire, the Tubbs Fire, the Carr Fire, and of course, the Camp Fire. Safety systems work good when they work, but when they do not work, it's awful. I say this as our nation is considering another Middle East war. Well, that might be a quick and easy war to win if everything goes according to plan, but we in the United States, we don't very much worry about things because we have a strong military, and the U.S. now has a $40 billion missile intercept system. So I think our systems will protect us, don't you? Oh, but please please do not put your faith in a system. Do not put your faith in man. Instead, put your faith in God Almighty. Let God be your shield and your buckler. Oh, that's a phrase from Psalm 91. Shield and buckler. There are two types of shields, and one's larger and one's smaller. But about a war in the Middle East, is it possible? Oh, yes, it's possible. So let God be our shield, and we pray to him for protection. There have been more than a few Bible scholars who describe a war that is in the Bible, and they say Iran and Russia are allies in that war. And guess what? Today, Iran and Russia are allies. Just like at the end of history, they are allies. So, for real answers to what will happen in the future, well, we just kind of have to wait and see. But we can be aware of the possibilities, and we can be aware of man disasters and natural disasters. And so what do we want to be safe from? All of it. Natural disasters, man-made disasters, and our enemies. Yes. So look at the fall of every great power in history. Nations fall. Babylon fell. Persia fell. Greece fell. Egypt fell. Rome fell. So what do you think? Do you think the United States will fall? Well, without God's protection, of course we will fall. Is our nation following the will of God? What do you think? And again I ask, will the United States fall? And what if the United States does fall? Do you think it is the will of God that you and me, we all die? Of course not. But consequences and hard times and difficult conditions, they do happen. And they also give us opportunity to show the love of God as we practice loving our neighbors. So there can be good things to come out of hard times also. You know, there is that great commandment of God, which is written in Matthew 22:37. Mark 12:30 and Luke 10:27, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it's written in three places, so it must be really important. Yeah, I would say so. It's important. And a consistent Bible theme is that God wants us to live and not die. So if we have troubles coming, I think we should examine how we can live through all those troubles and have the goodness of God in our hearts and minds. I think of John 10:10. I'll read that. John 10:9-10, where Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So, the Bible has different examples, different words, but they show us how much God loves us. God loves us. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God loves us. And when we see and feel God's very great love for us, it is easy to love God back. It's just a reaction, a human reaction we have. It's obvious to me that the life that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants for us is eternal life, the life after this physical life, and to be alive forever in heaven and not hell, And for this to happen, we must be born again in Jesus. And that's in John chapter 3. It's a good chapter to read, John chapter 3. So yes, the abundant life. It's so obviously true to me from reading the Bible. God wants us to have life and life more abundantly. But please read the Bible yourself and let your mind and your heart and absorb it. And then you can understand this truth for yourself. God's love for us and our love for God. I started out today with the thought of natural disasters that could occur. The forest fires, the city fires. Well, I mentioned them already. And now we're again getting into fire season. But these big fires that hit California were not all during the prime fire season. So like I say, be prepared at all times, because we never know when something will happen. Might be a fire, it might be an earthquake. There are some large earthquakes going on, and we have been told to be aware of a big earthquake that would hit us. We often will think of the San Andreas Fault. That's been popularized. And there can be an earthquake on the San Andreas Fault pretty easily. But from what I can tell, the really big one is the Cascadia subduction zone. That is where the Pacific and the North American continental plates collide. And that is where the Juan de Fuca plate is. And this zone goes from Northern California to just into Canada. And it runs off the coast. This earthquake that is expected to happen in the future, it has happened in the past also, but in the future it is expected to be a 9.0 to 9.5 earthquake on the Richter scale. That's huge. And it would last for 5 minutes of violent shaking. And there would be a tsunami, which would seriously affect both North America and Japan. I think you could call that one the big one. And we'll see, because we just don't know when it will happen. I mean, really, we don't know at all when. It could be in 100 hours, or 100 months, or 100 years. We really just do not know. But we do know that these things happen. Earthquakes happen. Volcanoes happen. And volcanoes and earthquakes, they do seem to have some kind of a connection. It's not that we really understand it, but there does seem to be a connection. And there are... there was an earthquake just off the coast of Eureka just a week ago. So these things do go on. Volcanoes go on, too. And, oh, there's another one. There's been concern about that activity happening in Yellowstone National Park. Some experts are concerned about having a volcanic supervolcanic caldera going on at Yellowstone National Park. But there are other volcanoes that are going off in the world in other places. So we should know that there is volcanic activity around. We know about the one in Hawaii. That's going off. And there's one at Popocatepetl in Mexico City. And about a week ago, that volcano put ash 33,000 feet into the air. And that was just a week ago. Another one just a week ago was kind of by Tokyo, Japan, and a volcano again put ash into the atmosphere about 30,000 feet up. So the news people say that if a volcano erupts in Japan, it could cause a big tsunami to hit California. Yep. We know the possibilities, but we surely do not know when or if. But we can be aware of what is going on and realize that there is reason to be concerned. There's also a volcano at Papua New Guinea, which has, in a dramatic way, put ash 40 to 60,000 feet into the air. So, yes, indeed, there are earthquakes going on, and Indonesia, or that part of the world, has a history of having large volcanoes that affected life everywhere in the world. There's also activity at the Krakatoa volcano in Indonesia. And most people know that name, Krakatoa, because in 1883, it had a huge explosion or eruption. And they say that that explosion could be heard halfway around the world. That's one report. But there's other reports too, and they say that the explosion and the effects were actually felt all around the world. So whatever it really was, it was big, halfway around the world or all the way around the world. How can you say? I don't know what the real answer is, but it was astoundingly big when it went off. At that time, in 1883, the Krakatoa volcano exploded like that, and 36,000 people died from that explosion or eruption. It was huge. In these last days, Krakatoa is active again. Now, not like it was in 1883, but there have been various explosions from the steam and the volcanic activity. So Krakatoa is still happening, just it not big these days. Another thing that, just as a matter of history, I'll tell you about another volcano that was near Krakatoa, and that one was Tambora. The Tambora, Indonesia volcano went off in 1815. And that is called the largest volcanic explosion in history. I guess they call it the largest explosion in history. And it changed our climate around the whole world. It caused the year without summer in 1816. The explosion was in 1815, but it affected weather for about 5 years. But that summer of 1816 was known as the year without a summer. The ash cloud absorbed the heat from the sun before it could reach the earth. And in London, it was reported in 1816 that if there was a glass of water left outside overnight in June, it would freeze solid. So, that was the summer of 1816. Oh, that summer, there was also a snowstorm in the middle of the summer in the United States that lasted 3 days. And it affected a lot of lives. Well, these events Krakatoa of 1883 and Tambora of 1815, they seem so far away to us, and in a way they are. But we have to remember that if they happened once, they can happen again. Well, in grade school, I learned about another volcano, and it intrigued me that there could be a cloud of poisonous gas that came from a volcano, and that it killed so many people. And then it covered them very quickly in volcanic ash. So their images were a permanent record to this day in ash. So this happened in Pompeii and Herculaneum in AD 79. And that was Mount Vesuvius in Italy that erupted. And, well, like I said, I remember it from grade school. But I went to Pompeii some years back because I was so intrigued that it had happened. But it was interesting to actually see those streets and walk in Pompeii. I expected to see a Roman resort town, which it was, and I thought it would be a little bit nicer. Still, you have to remember that that was almost 2,000 years ago, and what people considered nice in those days is not what people consider nice today. If you go there, you will see that those nice homes and nice streets that they had were, well, they were all made of stone, and it was the stone in the streets was really quite uneven, surprisingly uneven. But I know that the people in that day would have been happy to have a nice strong house and a nice stone paved street. You know, stone is better to walk in than mud. And so I think of just the conditions of the day or the days, and I think how glad those people must have been to have stone streets to walk on. And not only did they have that, they were in a Roman town, and that meant they had Roman law and order. And compared to so much of the world and the frontier law that existed in most places, people liked that there was Roman law. It's kind of hard to look at history because we know what we know today, but if you look back and think about what they knew at the time, well, it's changed a lot. We have advanced so very much in the conditions of our cities and society. Wow. We are so glad that we don't have to live in those times. It's to call something good, a good house today versus a good house in those days, or a paved street today compared to a paved street in those days, what a vast difference there was. So, it's kind of hard to understand the difference because we live today and we have a perspective on everything today. It's hard to look back a few thousand years and think with their perspective. It's just hard. But we exercise our thought, we are understanding, and we get things thought about and figured out. Well, I'm so glad that I don't have to live in those days in a Roman town, a Roman resort town like Pompeii. It was not near Rome. Rome was the center of civilization And they did have a lot of beautiful things in Rome with, well, beautiful finishes and everything. It was beautiful. But this was a resort town, and it was still nice. And they had some beautiful buildings in it, too. But some of the buildings were pretty plain. There were no, in those days, there were most of the, almost every house did not have a bathroom. Just think of how those ancient people lived. The standards for clean were not the same as the standards today. Like I said, thank you, God, for placing me right here, right now. In all of history, you placed me here. Thank you, God. Well, speaking about those old days and bathrooms, you know, we have a lot of old castles that we look at in Europe. We see the pictures of them and we think, oh, how romantic. But pretty much they mostly did not have any bathroom area. And I remember going to one castle near Dusseldorf, Germany, and it was a smaller king there, and that king had two castles, and I visited one of them. Every 2 years, the whole castle would move. Every person and all their belongings went from one castle to the other, because it would take 2 years for the bad smells to go away. Ha! Yeah. Things have changed. Oh, how grateful I am. We have it so good today, and today among peoples of the world, we are so blessed to be here in the United States of America. Yeah. 30 years ago, I went on a trip to Peru. And a part of that trip was to take a beautiful train ride on a steam-powered locomotive train. And it really was wonderful. It was a big experience. Lovely. But there was another part of it. Speaking of bathrooms, out of 50 people who rode that train, I'd say there were 5 tourists total, both from America and Europe. So most of the people there were native. And a thing that amazed me was that on that 8-hour train ride, there was not one native woman who used the bathroom. The bathroom was unpleasant, and the toilet just went right out onto the tracks. So I thought, oh, America is such an absolutely wonderful place, and we are so blessed to live here. Yes. Thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus. Years ago, I did do quite a bit of traveling, and there were ways to travel really cheap. And you had to put some effort into your travel plans, but you could do it really quite inexpensively. It's not like today. It's harder to travel today inexpensively. But I did it like that so that I could afford to go places in this country and out of this country. And it was so very interesting. I'm glad to have done it. I think that as we go through life, we see how important it is to have a plan. And a part of that plan is savings. And so as we go through life, yes, earn money, but it is always important to save money. And another way to say it is to spend less than you earn. So that's the thing about money, and how did I afford to go to these places? Well, I did it carefully. And there's a lot of things you can do too. But the key is to have a plan, and to have savings, and to spend less than you earn. And now, I wish I'd saved more. We also have inflation going on, And inflation is changing things a lot. It's making our money and our savings worth less and less. So learn from others. And for instance, with inflation, you will want to put your money into assets, not just currency. Because we do have inflation, it's still going on, it's really all around us. And inflation makes for instability all over the place. Instability in our economy, in our in the life that we live with family, with friends, with business. We just don't know how things will really go, how fast, but we know that once inflation starts, it is incredibly difficult to stop. And you can look at the national debt that we have. That is following the path of inflation also. As a country, we just cannot stop spending our money. And that's a part of inflation too. National debt is a part of inflation. History shows me that at some point, our nation, our country, will get into a great big crisis. I think everybody who studies history or finance knows that a crisis has to happen. We just don't know when. But as we look at the situation today, we can see that there's many opportunities for some sort of a crisis to occur. And year after year, we see the possibilities, but year after year, crisis is delayed. So we don't know when a kind of trouble will come, a financial trouble, a social trouble. But the longer it's postponed, the harder it will hit us. And so many people have a sense that something big is happening. You could call it a crisis is coming. But what do we do about it? Well, I know what I do. I say, look out, it's coming, so get ready for something. History tells us trouble is coming, and the Bible, God's Word, tells us trouble is coming, but we still don't know just when it will be here. We're told about the troubles in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. It's the same direction is written in all those books and chapters. And then there's special, I will call it a special mention, of Revelation. And I think chapter 18 shows us that we are going to have some pretty serious trouble. Oh, so what do we do? What do we say? Well, we look at it as a possible reality right here, right soon. But we know it's going to happen because we have a just God, and justice is going to happen, and He will judge all that is good and evil, which is of God and not of God. And also remember that to avoid this judgment, we get the free gift of salvation because Jesus went to the cross. So we have to accept that free gift, and then we do what we can. I mean, we really do it to conform our life to His will. Oh, yes, and meanwhile, we get through the things that are going on in this life, and those things that the Bible says is coming, wars, rumors of war, earthquakes, famine, plagues, and heavenly signs. Oh, so they'll be here too. We'll get through it. And then we'll get to heaven, one way or another. So I do wonder how each of those things are going to develop. And as I say, I see lots of possibilities for how things can develop. And yet only God really knows what will happen. As we go through life, we grow in our faith and we trust and obey our God. Our God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's just how life is, how life goes. These days, we hear more and more things talk about war in different parts of the world and about war between the United States and Iran. And I kind of wonder about if we should be concerned because Russia and Iran are increasingly becoming allies. Russia needs or finds it convenient to use the sea access which Iran has, and Russia also needs or finds it convenient to access Iran's oil. So, if the U.S. moves against Iran, will Russia step in? They just might. It's a good question, because both of those countries have reason to dislike the United States. Russia, because the U.S. has caused Russia to look weak to Russian friends and allies. And Iran, because religiously it is extremely opposed to the United States, whom Iran calls the Great Satan. Iran is also opposed to Israel, which it calls the lesser Satan. So there's many more areas of conflict than that which just meets the eye. And as we consider military action against Iran, well, we just want to be aware. Be careful. And realize that a conflict with the United States and Iran could all of a sudden become a war involving more people and more countries than we could have guessed. You know, there's many people who study the Bible, and they understand that Russia and Iran are allies at the end of the age. And we'll see what it all develops into, but it just makes more and more of a caution to be aware of the troubles that are going on. Troubles go on overseas in other countries, and troubles go on right here in our neighborhood. Oh, like the town of Paradise. Yes, indeed, they have had the fire, which was huge. And just recently, they've been told by the state of California that they must fix the spillway at the Magalia Dam, or water from that dam will no longer be available for the town of Paradise to use. Huh, and Paradise gets its drinking water from that dam. Well, it means something. It means that they have to repair the spillway, or they have to build a whole new dam. And the new dam has some support because would eliminate some of the concerns about earthquake, the damage that an earthquake could cause to that dam. So, $20 million for a whole new dam. Very interesting. I wonder what'll happen. And speaking of water, I'm not sure what it means, but India has for a few years been suffering the loss of both drinking water and water for farming in their agricultural sectors. Some regions of India have had 80% of their reservoirs well below their normal capacity. So we don't know quite what it means, but we get an idea that it's not really good for countries to have water shortages. We just have to be concerned about our own water. And we know that water is so precious, especially if you don't have it. And the drinking water situation in paradise has been something to be aware of now, ever since the fire. People are realizing how important water is when they have to truck it in. It's wow. Well, there are abnormal events going on everywhere, from faraway places to nearby places. Surprises happen. And, you know, there's another one that happened just, I suppose, a week ago. I heard that on the news that the Whiskeytown Lake Recreation Area had been shut down because of the sudden increase in the bear population. Yeah, I can't say that I put too much blame on the bears, because people leave their garbage around and their food all over the place. And so people food tastes a whole lot better than whatever the bear eats in nature. So we have to be careful with what we have responsibility in, like taking care of our food, like taking care of everything we have. You know, there's needle exchange programs in various parts of the state, and people, actually they've changed it from needle exchange to just giving out free needles. And when people get things for free, they just throw them away. And it's surprising the number of public places that have needles on the ground all over the place, so to speak, in lots of cities. I mean, yes, we've heard of San Francisco, but we've heard of Eureka, and Sacramento apparently has a problem too. It just, we have to do things in a way that is wise and use our resources well. So whether it's a natural disaster kind of a situation or a people-caused situation, we have to be wise about what we face and how we handle problems. Problems, problems. You know, there's people who think that if there is a big problem in the city, like a disaster, they will simply escape into the woods until conditions in the city get better. Well, I'll give you some caution about that one. For one thing, how do you get to the woods and how do you get back? If there really is a big disaster, I think a whole lot of things will no longer be available, including gasoline. So please look over the ideas and see what you think. What if you have the idea that you're going to leave your house, your home, you have to consider that it probably won't be the same when you get back. If you leave your home and everything, it'll probably be taken over by the homeless, and all of the stuff in your home will be gone through, ransacked. So if you do manage to make it to the woods, I think you'll find it's not so easy to live away from civilization. There will be survivalists out there, and everyone in the woods will be competing with everyone else to get the limited supply of animals or venison and berries. And, you know, venison and berries is good until they're gone. And berries are only ripe for a short while. Their season is not long, and the birds eat the berries too, usually before they are ripe. So, what do we eat if we're in the woods? Acorn flour? That's not so easy, and it's not very tasty either. So, just be aware of all that and realize that you have a chance to get things now, so get them now while you can. There have been people, there have been history books and people who have written diaries as they have traveled in the Old West. Those history books often describe the Native American people that they met and how they lived. It's a pretty big thing. Those writers would also write about how in the winter, many of those Native American tribes were on the edge of very real starvation. So, if people who lived in the woods had a difficult time getting enough food to eat, you can only imagine how we, modern people, well, we'd probably starve to death if we had to live in the woods. So, be aware of that. And take the time right now to look at what you would like to have in the way of water, food, and supplies while what you want is available. Right now, there's so many things available, you can just buy it at the store. And when trouble comes along, people are quick to see it. And what do? They buy everything up very quickly. And what you want is going to be gone from the stores in a matter of hours. That's just the way it is. If you look at how there have been hurricanes that have hit along different parts of the United States, that's what happened. The stores are emptied. And that's in the best cases, when the stores have plenty of supplies and, by the way, electricity. If the stores do not have electricity, well, they lock their doors and they don't let anyone buy anything. They can't because of the way our liability laws are and because the way people have to account for the money that they take in and sell. It's just a pretty tough thing. So if there's a natural disaster coming along, it's very unlikely, they're all different. Maybe you can get your supplies and maybe you can't. But the thing is, have a look at it and see what you see so that you are not left without supplies. And people who go to the woods no doubt will have troubles also. Sure, their first concern might be getting there, especially if the gas stations are closed or if the gas stations are out of gas and if there are traffic jams along the way or an accident that closes the road down. There's just all sorts of things that can happen. So keep that in mind if you're planning to just leave. It's not as easy as it seems. And whatever you have is going to run out. I don't know if you have enough long-term water, supplies, and food, and warmth, and shelter, and security concerns. There's just things to think about. Lots. So think in advance about all these questions and what you want to do, what you would do if, and then see what it is that you will find that makes a sensible preparedness plan. That's important. Plan. And there's so many things that are just going on everywhere in our world, and it can affect us here too. We have things going on in the world, like there's a growing outcry at the United Nations about Islamophobia. or anti-Islam, which is called hate speech. And there are organizations that support Islamic movements, like the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is one right now that is petitioning the United Nations to pass laws which, in effect, will promote Islam worldwide and Sharia law ahead of other religions. So, things are going on. The United Nations Secretary General appears to favor this policy, and so do the numerous Islamic nations in the world. So, changes can happen. Changes can come around. And we're now facing situations in the world where Christianity and Christians face hostility from people, individuals, from governments and organizations, and schools too. People even in Christian schools are being told that their curriculum has to conform to state standards. And a part of that is the state requiring LGBTQ lifestyle instructions and all the things that children don't really need to know at that certain age, like how to put a condom on a banana. You know, there's just things that we don't need to involve our children with. But the world wants everyone to support what the world wants. And a part of that is educating our children to be worldly. It's not so good for us Christ followers. We cannot support things that God says in the Bible to oppose. Or even if we don't oppose it, we don't want to be in support of it. So, we have a world system which tells us how to educate our children, and it's a little bit complicated. I think of Proverbs 22:6 that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So, that's our Christian and Jewish practices and heritage. And what the children are learning in school can very much go against biblical morality. Public schools, that's just the way they do it. And when you think about training up a child to know and follow Jesus Christ, you say, oh, what a joy. And that is just the opposite from a child that is growing up to increase their own self-serving lusts. And it's not a good thing. We want the children to find the narrow gate which leads to eternal life, and not the wide gate which leads to destruction. Matthew 7, that's what it's about. Well, do you really think that if you put your children in a Sunday school class, that 1 hour in a Sunday school class is going to have much to counteract the 5 days a week that they spend in school, probably 6 days, 6 hours a day? So you have choices to make. We all have choices to make about our children and a little bit about our grandchildren, too. It takes a little bit of sensitivity because, well, we just have to be sensitive to the needs of others. But schooling is a big question, and I think that homeschooling is certainly an option. And yes, it takes time, but then you get to have the advantage of having time with your beautiful children. Time with your children is lovely, and eventually the children go off into the world and you don't have them around anymore. So make the best use of that time. and enjoy your children. And I think a part of that can be homeschooling. There's lots of questions in life, and what do we do? Homeschool or public school? What about the other questions? To buy a home or not buy a home? Questions about who to marry and who not to marry? Or do you have children or not? Or how do you show love and caring to your children? There's just lots of things going on, and we get to figure out as we go through it. But I think we do want to share Christ with the people we love and care about so that they have enough knowledge to choose to go to heaven. That is good to instruct our children in, and to tell the people who we know, who we care about, the people who we love, about biblical knowledge. So that's a good thing to do. All right, so for today, I want to thank you for listening to this radio broadcast of Christ Today. And you can listen to other broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase with no spaces. I know I like to put Christ in capital, but if you do that, it goes to another website. So another thing I always have available is my preparedness pamphlet. And you can get that for free by sending me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.